Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We've been studying chapter 13, and in this study today, we will cover verses 3 through 4. I'll read those verses first of all, and then we'll go into a short introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one in a little more detail, and then we'll sum everything up and conclude. Let me begin reading those two verses. "And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? And who was able to war with him?" In this study entitled, "The Beast's Head That Was Smitten Unto Death Was Healed," we will be discussing things that took place during the Great Tribulation that began on May 21, 1988, when judgment came upon all the churches and congregations worldwide, for judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. We will learn exactly what it means that one of the beast's seven heads was as though it had been smitten or slain unto death, and exactly when this took place. Then we will discover what it means that this death stroke or wound to the head of the beast was healed, and exactly when it was healed. We will see that due to the beast's death stroke or wound being healed, the whole earth worshipped both the dragon and the beast, because the dragon that was healed gave its then renewed authority or power to the beast, so that the dragon and the beast worked together as one to deceive the whole world. But interestingly, the whole world does not mean what you probably think it means at first glance. So, what does it mean that the whole earth worship both the dragon and the beast? We shall see in this study. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ remove all stumbling blocks in our way to keep each one of us from seeing the truth. And may he cleanse and prepare our hearts and minds to see things as he sees them, and to keep us from any preconceptions which may rob us from his spiritual teachings. Amen. Now let me read the verse once again. "And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth wondered after the beast." Let's first focus on the first sentence of this verse. It states, "And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death." Now remember, we learned in the previous study of Revelation 13, verse 1, part 2, that the seven heads and 10 horns, and you can click on Revelation 13, 1, part 2, and scroll down to page 7 on the last paragraph to see this information. But we learned in that study that the seven heads and 10 horns of this beast that rose up out of the sea symbolized Satan and his kingdom's perfect rule or authority as his complete strength or power, and his complete strength or power, I should say, respectively, to overcome and bring God's judgment against his very own church worldwide, beginning at the end of the church age and the beginning of the great tribulation of judgment on May 21, 1988, just as Satan, before the cross, once had such perfect rule or authority and complete strength or power to overcome God's Old Testament church, the nation of Israel, by the end of the Old Testament period. before he was bound in the bottomless pit and cast out of heaven to the earth at the cross. Indeed, as we had learned in Revelation 12:3, that you can click on to see, before the cross, at the end of the Old Testament period, the dragon with the same 7 heads and 10 horns, as the beast that we're now looking at Revelation 13:1, Satan himself, had established such perfect authority and rule over the nation of Israel and the world that virtually everyone in them were deceived and overcome by him through the false teachings and false gospels of his false prophets, so that the nation of Israel, his very own church at that time, could not even recognize their own Messiah, Jesus Christ. But instead they crucified him. Indeed, by the end of the Old Testament period, the dragon, Satan himself, had such authority and power, symbolized by its 7 heads and 10 horns, to frustrate God's plan to save a great multitude from every nation in the world, that God was not able to accomplish the sending of the gospel into the whole world until Satan had been cast out of heaven and bound at the cross. And you can click on Revelation 20 to see more information on that. In fact, there was only a small remnant ever eternally saved during the Old Testament period, and virtually all of them were only Israelites, except for a few Gentiles from other nations, like Rahab the harlot of Jericho, Ruth the Moabitess, and a few others. But after Satan had been bound at the cross and then Pentecost came on May 21 of 33 A.D., all of a sudden, thousands upon thousands began to be saved as the gospel began to go out to all the nations of the world, because the authority or rule of the dragon, Satan himself, which perfect authority or rule before the cross, was then symbolized by its 7 heads, and you can click on Revelation 12:3 to see that, was smitten or slain by Christ himself, who cast Satan out of heaven and bound him at the cross. Now we can begin to understand what our verse means when the Apostle John says, "And I saw one of his," that is the beast's, "heads as though it had been smitten unto death." Since we already learned that each of the 7 heads of the beast symbolize the perfect authority or rule of Satan's kingdom. And again, you can click on Revelation 13, verse 1, part 2, and scroll down to page 7, the last paragraph, to see that in that one of this beast's heads was as though it had been smitten unto death, means that Satan and his kingdom's authority or rule appeared to have been smitten or slain unto death. And when was the authority or rule of Satan's kingdom slain? This can only be referring back to the cross, when Satan was conquered by Christ and cast out from heaven to the earth and bound from being able to any longer frustrate God's plan to send his gospel into the entire world to save his elect from every nation. So, when the Apostle John saw the head of this beast, that is Satan and his kingdom, as though it had been smitten or slain to death, it is referring to what happened to Satan's rule or authority at the cross. It was as though Satan's rule had been slain to death, so that God could then send forth his gospel to the entire world to save all of his elect from every nation, without Satan being able to keep that from happening, as he was, for the most part, able to do during the Old Testament period. It did not mean that Satan was bound by chains in the pit so that he could not go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour and cause all sorts of trouble during the church age. But it meant that at the cross, God won back the right to rule over the earth that he had lost to Satan in the beginning when Satan had deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so ever since the cross, Satan could no longer frustrate God's plan to evangelize the world and eternally save his people, the elect, from every nation under the heavens. Yes, Satan had been bound at the cross in 33 AD, and the day of salvation for the whole world began 50 days later on Pentecost in 33 AD, and this day of salvation and the church age lasted until May 21, 1988, when judgment began with the house of God, in and through which eternal salvation came to an end, until that same judgment of no more salvation also came upon the entire world on May 21, 2011, when judgment day began. All according to the well-proven, and you can click on to see the proofs, biblical timeline of history, and you can click on that to see the biblical timeline. But now our verse says, and his, that is the beast's, death stroke was healed. That is, on May 21, 1988, when Satan was loosed from having been bound at the cross to bring judgment against all the churches and congregations worldwide, also known as the church, house or temple of God or the holy place, it appeared that the death stroke rendered to this beast, that is to Satan with his kingdom, at the cross that had stripped it of its seven heads and ten horns, was healed or cured. Which is why Satan with his kingdom, that is this beast, is once again presented as having seven heads and ten horns in Revelation chapter 13 verse 1. Like he had before the cross, which we can see in Revelation chapter 12 verse 3, and you can click on to go there to see that, when he had such great and perfect rulership or authority and also complete strength or power over the world and the Old Testament church, which back then was the whole nation of Israel. All of this reveals that on May 21, 1988, when Satan with his kingdom, that is the beast, was loosed and used of God to bring judgment on all the churches and congregations worldwide, Satan, once again, had the perfect authority or rule and the complete strength or power over not only the entire world, but the entire New Testament church. Namely, all the Christian churches and congregations in the world. But notice how the beast, during the Great Tribulation, in Revelation 13:1, that you can click on to see, that is Satan with his kingdom that he rules over, has its ten horns crowned. While before the cross, the dragon in Revelation 12:3, that you can once again click on to see, that is Satan, does not have its ten horns crowned. What is this difference? Since the number 10 symbolizes the completeness of whatever is in view, and you can click on Bible number 10 to see that, and the crown symbolizes kingship, having ten crowns means that this beast, that is Satan with his kingdom that he rules over, has complete rule as the king over the whole world and all the churches and congregations in the world during the great tribulation of judgment that began at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, when the judgment of no more eternal salvation began in and through the house of God, and it lasted until this same judgment of no more possibility of eternal salvation also came upon the entire world on May 21, 2011, May 21, 2011, when judgment day began. And in that it is the ten horns, which we already learned symbolize complete strength or power, that are crowned with 10 crowns. It is this beast's, that is Satan with his kingdoms, complete strength or power that gives it rule as the king. This means that Satan with his kingdom, that is this beast, had complete rule as the king over the entire world and all the Christian local churches and congregations worldwide to fulfill God's purpose to bring his judgment upon his own house, also called his temple or church, namely all the Christian churches and congregations worldwide. But now, before moving on to the last sentence of verse 3 in Revelation chapter 13 that we have been studying, we should pay careful attention to how our verse says that the death stroke or wound that was inflicted upon this beast at the cross was healed or cured. We can know with absolute certainty that this beast was not healed or cured in any way by itself. For in the Greek, the verb translated as healed or cured is in the passive voice, to make it clear that this beast, Satan with his kingdom, was completely passive in the matter of its own healing. In fact, it had to be someone or something else that healed this beast. And according to Revelation 20, that you can click on to see, we know that someone was Christ himself who loosed Satan on May 21, 1988 from the bottomless pit in which he had been originally bound at the cross to use Satan with his kingdom, that is the beast, to bring judgment against his very own church. And then also to bring that same judgment of no more salvation upon the whole world, beginning on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. Thus, all the great authority, power, and kingship of this beast, that is Satan with his kingdom, over the house of God and the world was not earned or won by Satan like he had first won the right to rule over the whole world at the beginning in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Eve. But this great authority, power, and rule over all the churches was temporarily given to him through being healed by God himself to first bring judgment against his very own church from the end of the church age on May 21, 1988 to Judgment Day that began on May 21, 2011. And then to bring that same judgment that began with the house of God upon the entire world, while continuing to bring the same judgment against all the churches and congregations worldwide thereafter. So ultimately, God was and is in control of everything as he manipulates the devil for his own purposes. We, the elect, should not, therefore, become anxious because our Father God loves us and works out all things for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And we are reminded of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 through 11. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we read in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, the Apostle Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now let's look at the last sentence of verse 3 that we are currently studying in Revelation chapter 13. It reads, "And the whole earth wondered," or we could translate it, "marveled after the beast." Obviously, this word earth in this sentence, "and the whole earth wondered after the beast," does not refer to the physical earth, but it refers to the people of the earth. For how could the physical earth wonder or marvel after the beast? Rather, the earth must refer to the people of the earth, for only they could wonder or marvel after the beast. And in that it is the whole earth which wonders or marvels after this beast, makes it clear that it is the whole of or all the living people of the earth who wonder or marvel after this beast. For a dead person could not wonder or marvel after the beast. But looking at things spiritually now, all the living people of the earth are only those spiritually saved in Jesus Christ. Because without eternal salvation, God tells us that the people are spiritually dead in their sins and trespasses. As we read in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," that is without spiritual salvation, "has quickened us," that is made us alive through spiritual salvation, "together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And again in Colossians 2 we read in verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," that is without spiritual salvation, "has he quickened," that is made alive, "together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses," with spiritual salvation, of course. So it is clear that people without eternal or spiritual salvation through Christ are spiritually dead in God's eyes, and the people with spiritual salvation through Christ are spiritually living or alive when we look at things from a spiritual vantage point of view, which we must do to understand the spiritual symbolism in Revelation 13. Yet, we must recognize that when the Apostle Paul says that he did in the previous two passages, that is what he said in the passages we just previously read, he is speaking to the whole church of Ephesus, including those believers who were not yet truly saved, although undoubtedly they thought they were. For it is highly unlikely that everyone in this local church of Ephesus was saved. And we can see that clearly by going to Revelation 2, 1 through 7 that you can click on and read about the church of Ephesus only maybe a few decades later, a couple decades later. And you can clearly see that there were unsaved people in that church, as has been true of all churches throughout history. Remember, even among Jesus' very own 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot was a devil. Yes, it's part of God's plan that counterfeit Christians can look so much like true Christians. They can seem so moral, so outstanding, so vocal for and obedient to Christ that you can never know who all the counterfeit Christians are until God shows you or you see that they are living an ongoing lifestyle in this sin or that sin. And they won't repent when they're faced with their sin. This is why, for instance, Christ taught in the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, then verses 36 through 43, in which the wheat represent true believers and the tares represent counterfeit believers. That the tares that grew right alongside the wheat in the churches were not to be rooted up, because if it was tried to root them up, which grows so close and entangled with the wheat in the churches, some of the wheat could be rooted up as well, because it can be very difficult to tell them apart. Therefore, Jesus taught to let the tares, that is the counterfeit Christians, grow together with the wheat, that is the true Christians, in the churches, until the final harvest, which we now know began on September 7th, 1994, according to the biblical timeline, in the final call to salvation for the world during the latter rain until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, when eternal salvation became impossible for everyone in the entire world. One of the main mechanisms that God used to separate the wheat from the tares in the churches during the latter rain or final harvest from September 7, 1994 to May 21, 2011, was to command the true believers in all the churches to depart out from all their now Satan-ruled churches, which they eventually did. The rest who remained in their churches in disobedience to the Lord, who even to this day remain in their churches in disobedience to Him without even knowing it, perhaps, are the tares or counterfeit Christians who have been bundled together in all the churches worldwide for the fire. I encourage you to read the book, Wheat and Tares, and you can click on to do that. And these tares, counterfeit Christians, they were cast into the spiritual fire of judgment on May 21, 2011. When Judgment Day, which lasts for many days, began, and they will relatively soon be cast bodily or physically into the lake of fire on the last day of the world and Judgment Day that we are now in. This is how God has separated the wheat, that is the true Christians, in the churches from the tares, the counterfeit Christians in the churches in the end of the world. Judgment Day that we are now in. You see, Christ's command to come out of the church can seem so absurd and contrary to common sense to the flesh that virtually all those who are yet in the flesh and not in the spirit, that is, they're not saved, will not obey Christ to leave their churches, even if they are revealed the very command itself in Holy Scripture. And you can click on the link, Why Leave All Churches, for more information on that. And then after Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, to separate the rest of the unsaved that did not come out of the church from all the truly saved, all right, let me restate that. After May 21, 2011, to separate the rest of the unsaved, there probably were a few of the unsaved that did come out of the church from all the truly saved, who also departed out from the church before May 21, 2011. God has set up another final test as to whether they will continue to believe the false demonstration gospel. And you can click on that link to see what that gospel is, that they had been incorrectly taught only in the last few years before Judgment Day began in order to prepare the way for this final test. And you can click on final test to read about it in detail that would be realized during Judgment Day, which is whether or not they will repent from their false and counterfeit demonstration gospel. Those who came out from the church and also come to reject the false demonstration gospel that God allowed to be incorrectly taught by Mr. Camping to set up this final test for Judgment Day beginning on May 21, 2011, these, you can confidently believe, are the true people of God. They are the wheat that have been separated from the counterfeit people of God. That is the tares in the church. Like what was said first by obeying Christ to come out from their churches during the latter rain. And then these ones continued to believe that May 21 began Judgment Day, even though it did not turn out exactly as once thought. And then these same people have also come to reject the false demonstration gospel that for a short period they once held as true until they had studied it in more detail with much prayer and meditation during the Judgment Day that we are in. And I encourage you to click on the link, the final test, to learn more precisely about that. Okay, let's get to the main point in all this. The main point is that even deceived, unsaved Christians in the church, when viewed externally, can appear to be true saved Christians. Therefore, both the saved and the unsaved in the local church of Ephesus and Colossae were addressed by the Apostle Paul as though they were all eternally saved, true Christians. Even though we know they weren't, which was why we saw the Apostle Paul address the whole church of Ephesus and the church of Colossae as if they had been all saved when he told them that they were once spiritually dead in their sins, but when they were eternally saved through Christ, they became spiritually alive. What I'm getting at is that when the church was only viewed from an external perspective, which is all that we as humans could do, all the people in the church could be considered Christians simply because they were a part of the church. But if we were able to view the church from an internal perspective, or eternal perspective, and look at the hearts of each individual in the church, which, of course, only God could do, we would have discovered that not all the people in the local churches and congregations were true Christians. In fact, at the time when judgment began at the house of God on May 21, 1988, we would have seen that most of the people in the churches were already counterfeit Christians. So, there was what we can call the external local church, which consisted of the saved and the unsaved in every local church worldwide. And there was what we can call the internal or eternal church, which consisted of only the saved people in every local church worldwide. Only the eternal or internal church, who were the truly saved of each local church, were the church that Christ said the gates of hell would not prevail against them, Matthew 16:18. Insofar as the rest of the people that were in the local churches, the gates of hell would prevail against them. And during the end of the world, Judgment Day, the saved people would not be in the churches because they departed out. So all the local churches and congregations around the world are filled with unsaved people. All the truly saved have departed out from the local churches worldwide in obedience to Christ, and Christ has used the gates of hell, that is Satan himself, to bring judgment against all the local Christian churches beginning on May 21, 1988. And these gates of hell have prevailed against all the Christian local churches worldwide as God's judgment against them for their sins. They are all now ruled over by the counterfeit Christ or gospels of the true Antichrist. And you can click on the link to learn exactly who that is. That came in fulfillment of Scripture, the Spirit, Satan himself. So if you still attend a local church, don't think for a moment that your church is not conquered and ruled over by the devil, because Christ said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. For he did not mean by that the gates of hell would not prevail against the local churches and congregations, but rather he meant that they would not prevail against the truly saved. But these truly saved have either already departed out from their churches, or they will depart out once they learn of Christ's command to depart out. But chances are they've all already departed out, because it would not be possible for them to remain comfortable in any local church for long in which Satan is ruling. And yes, he is now ruling them all according to Holy Scripture. I encourage you to click on Why Leave All Churches and click on the link 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 1 through 11, the man of sin, to learn all about that. You see, there's a lot of Christians out there that are still very moral, very outstanding, and they still think they're salvation. So they think they're going forth with the gospel, but it's a false gospel. It's normally a false gospel, a works gospel, not a true grace gospel. People have to do something to be saved always. But these counterfeit Christians, you couldn't tell them apart from true Christians. And they really think they're Christians. They really think they're worshiping the true God. But in fact, they're ruling the Antichrist that came to rule in all the churches as God's judgment against them all. Anyway, we can now return to our verse, which says, "And the whole earth wondered or marveled after the beast." Now let me say one more thing before we move on here. Like I said, people are remaining in the church, and they can be very good-looking, supposedly Christian, but they're disobeying the command of Christ because they have not come out of their church. So they're in rebellion to that command, unless when they hear it, they immediately come out of their church, which the true believers would do. Okay. Anyway, we can now return to our verse, which says, "And the whole earth wondered or marveled after the beast." Literally, one could interpret the whole earth to refer to all the living people on this planet. But we must look at the term "the whole earth" spiritually in this context. And to view this spiritually, we must interpret the whole earth to refer to all the spiritually living people on the planet. And since all the spiritually living people on the planet were all those brought to spiritual life in Jesus Christ, and they were normally found in a Christian local church, we could say that the land, or which can also be translated earth, of all the spiritual living was all the local churches and congregations around the world. Therefore, we can surmise that our term, the whole earth, refers to all the local churches and congregations worldwide, or all those who have claimed life through Jesus Christ worldwide. Another way of seeing that our term, the whole earth, can refer to all those who claimed life through Jesus Christ, namely everyone in the church worldwide, is to remember what we had learned in verse 1 of Revelation 13. Remember, we learned that the word sea, from which our beast rose up out from, refers to the unsaved or spiritually dead in the world. And since the word earth carries the opposite meaning to the word sea, for the earth and the sea are opposites, it is logical to assume that whereas the sea in context can mean the unsaved, that is the spiritually dead in the world, then the opposite word earth can mean the saved, the spiritually alive in the world, because the unsaved and the saved are opposites. And therefore, the term the whole earth in our verse of study can refer to all the saved. That's the spiritual living in the world. And as stated before, all the saved or spiritually alive or living people were normally found in the churches and congregations around the world at the beginning of the great tribulation of judgment against all the churches, which began on May 21, 1988. Therefore, once again, we can surmise that our term, the whole earth, that is all those who at least claim to be spiritually living through Jesus Christ, refers to all the local churches and congregations worldwide. It is interesting to note that the surface of our planet is about two-thirds sea and one-third land or earth. Just like the population size of those who are unsaved or spiritually dead to the population size of those who claim to be spiritually living through Jesus Christ. That is all the Christian churches around the world. The unsaved or spiritually dead were about two-thirds of the total population of the world. While all the churches were made up of about one-third of the total population at the time of the Great Tribulation that began on May 21, 1988, and which is the context of Revelation 13 that we are studying. Thus, we have even more support for the sea, symbolizing all the spiritually dead, and the whole earth, symbolizing all the peoples of the Christian churches and congregations worldwide who identified themselves with the spiritually living. For, spiritually speaking, the whole earth refers to all the spiritually living on this planet, which refers externally to the whole church. For all who are in all the churches and congregations worldwide are externally identified as being those of the spiritually living. Externally, they are considered to be all the living ones of the earth, and therefore they can be symbolized by the term the whole earth. We can even go further to show that the term the whole earth in Revelation 13:3 refers to all the churches and congregations worldwide during the Great Tribulation by looking up the word earth in the Bible to see if it can refer to the peoples of the church. That is, the people externally considered to be the spiritually living people of the earth. And when we do, we find that it can. For instance, we read in Psalm 66, verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." That word lands can be translated as earth. And it is obvious that the word lands, that can also be translated as earth, does not refer to the physical lands or earth, but to those who are of the spiritually living of the earth, that is the church of God. For it is only they who will make a joyful noise unto the true God. The rest can only make a joyful noise to their false gods and idols, because spiritually they are dead to the true God. Again, we read in Psalm 66, verse 4, "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name." Clearly, when it says all the earth shall worship God, it refers not to the physical earth worshiping God, but to all who spiritually claim to be spiritually living through Christ, the church on earth, who would worship God. Thus, we see that the Bible does give support to the term the whole, or symbolizing or representing the whole church, since, as we have seen, the whole earth, which is the opposite of the word sea, can symbolize or represent those of the spiritually living, that is all the churches worldwide, whereas the sea can represent those of the spiritually dead, or all those who were normally found outside of the churches up to the beginning of the great tribulation of judgment that first came upon the church on May 21, 1988. Now, having come to a better understanding of the term the whole earth, being able to refer to all the churches and congregations worldwide, which is the opposite to what we learned the term sea symbolizes in verse 1 of Revelation 13, namely all the spiritually dead or unsaved of the earth outside of the churches, when verse 3 says, "And the whole earth wondered or marveled after the beast," it means, and the whole Christian church, all the Christian churches worldwide, wondered or marveled after the beast during the great tribulation, which was God's judgment upon all the churches worldwide from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, according to the well-proven biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see. But what does it mean that all the churches and congregations worldwide wondered or marveled after the beast, that is, after Satan with his kingdom? The Greek word thaumazo, pronounced thaumazo, can not only be translated as wondered or marveled, but also as admired. So we could translate our verse, "And the whole earth," that is the whole church, "admired after the beast." That the idea that they admired after the beast infers that they followed after the beast with marveling or admiration. And indeed, this is what the churches did during the great tribulation of God's judgment against them. They followed after the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who is Satan himself, with his kingdom of fallen angels and counterfeit Christians already in the churches and coming into the churches through more counterfeit salvations as they were given rule over the churches with false teachings and gospels, as well as with lying signs and wonders to validate their counterfeit gospels. Yes, when the peoples of the churches saw that many people were supposedly being saved by the beast, the counterfeit Christ, who was and is the Antichrist, that came on May 21, 1988, Satan himself, and that this beast of the counterfeit Christ was doing counterfeit salvation, signs and wonders, like apparent miraculous healings, like making people fall backwards by touching them on the forehead, like getting direct messages from God apart from Holy Scripture and dreams, visions, tongues, so-called words of knowledge, prophecies, and the like, through this beast's false prophets to give itself legitimacy among the churches throughout the world. The church world marveled or admired after this beast, and openly welcomed the beast, its demons, and its counterfeit Christians into the churches and congregations worldwide without even knowing that they had become ruled over by Satan with his kingdom, the beast, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who was loosed from the pit by the true Christ on May 21, 1988 to bring judgment of deception on the entire house of God due to their sins and even to this day. The only ones saved from all the deception were the elect, who were commanded to leave their churches during the great tribulation before Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, which they did. Those who remained in their churches and won't depart out from them even to this day are under the wrath of God. And they may not, most don't even know it. They may seem like very good people, very moral, very vocal for Christ, and very much Christians. But the reality is, they are in rebellion to Christ without realizing it. For they will not depart out from their churches and are therefore very much children of the devil. Don't be deceived. Remember, God used his command to come out of the church to bring about separation of the wheat, that is the true Christians, from the tares, the counterfeit Christians, during the final harvest that began on September 7, 1994. The latter rain. Again, I encourage you to take some time to read the book Wheat and Tares by clicking on the link. Well, let's quickly look at one more verse in this study, verse 4 of Revelation 13. We should be able to look at this verse briefly because it says what is very common sense obvious. Let me put it that way. Let's read the verse. It reads, and they, okay, the they is referring back to the whole earth, which we know are the churches and congregations. It reads, and they worship the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Here, the statement, and they, that is the whole earth from the previous verse, worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast. Is just an obvious consequence of Satan, the dragon, being that part of the beast, that part of Satan's kingdom of fallen angels and unsaved Christians, which has authority over itself. It is just common sense to realize that the beast, that is Satan with his kingdom that he has authority over, gets its authority from the dragon, that is Satan himself. Once again, because Satan, the dragon, is the one who has authority over the beast. And since in our previous verse we learned that the whole earth, that spiritually symbolizes the whole church worldwide, marveled or admired after the beast, we are now being told that this marveling or admiring after the beast was or led to the whole earth, that is the whole church worldwide, having worshipped the dragon, Satan, because it was the authority of the dragon that was given to the beast, that is Satan, with his kingdom of fallen angels and counterfeit Christians. In other words, what we are seeing is that you cannot separate Satan from his kingdom. The kingdom of Satan, also known as Babylon in the Bible, consists both of Satan and his kingdom of fallen angels and unsaved humans. And they all work together as one. Satan's kingdom of fallen angels and unsaved humans walk in the spirit of Satan with his authority. And Satan is the spirit with his authority that they all walk in. Therefore, when the whole church, that is all the Christian churches worldwide, worshiped Satan in the Great Tribulation, which began on May 21, 1988, they also worshiped the beast as well, because they worshiped the same spirit, whether Satan himself or whether the spirit, Satan himself, which worked in the children of disobedience. Both spirits are the same spirit, Satan. Whether all the churches worldwide worshiped the spirit Satan as they did, or whether they worshiped the beast as they did, they worshiped both Satan and the beast, because spiritually they are one and the same. But now our verse finishes with the whole earth, which we had learned refers to all the peoples of the churches and congregations worldwide, saying, the whole earth, saying, "Who is like unto the beast, and who was able to make war with him?" This sounds like questions that all the churches would say if they were worshiping God himself. For who is like God? And who is able to make battle with God Almighty? So how could all the churches around the world say such things about Satan and his kingdom? Now the churches may have not been literally speaking such things, but they were so admiring and marveling and worshiping the beast and Satan that they believed they were worshiping God himself. And they are still believing that they are worshiping God even to this day, even though the church age ended. And then the churches were handed over to Satan and the beast on May 21, 1988, to completely deceive all those who would not depart out of their churches in obedience to Christ as judgment against them. And as a way to separate the wheat from the tares and the harvest in the end of the world. You see, those who will not leave their church to obey Christ have been deceived by the master deceiver. When the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, came speaking from the Bible through his false prophets with such power and doing signs and wonders like many counterfeit salvations to make it look like a church revival had come, like apparent miraculous healings and apparently getting miraculous direct messages from God in dreams, visions, prophecy, tongues, so-called words of knowledge, and making people fall backwards by touching them on the foreheads. And there was even at least one false prophet named Benny Hinn who threw the Holy Spirit at people to knock them over. And other such demonic but apparently miraculous things like being able to look at the sun without damaging one's retina or seeing apparitions in the designs on the wallpaper or other structures or participating in such ridiculous things as what they call holy laughter and so on. Yes, when the peoples of the churches experienced and saw such things as these, they were hooked by the deceiver, the devil himself, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who came to fulfill Holy Scripture as ruler in the temple of God, which is the house of God, the church, namely all the churches and congregations around the world. And let us be reminded of what Jesus commanded in Matthew 24. He says to his disciples, including his disciples in our day, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," that is the beast, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, "stand in the holy place," and the holy place is the church, "whoso readeth, let him understand." By saying that, God is making it clear that not everyone's going to understand. The true believers will understand for sure. Let him understand. "Let them which be in Judea," and Judea, spiritually speaking, is once again the church, "flee into the mountains." That's a command. It's in the command tense of the Greek language. "Flee into the mountains." And the mountains represent God. "Depart out of the church unto God, for he is no longer in the church." You have to depart out of the church to flee unto God. Notice how Christ did not say to depart out from your church when you see the abomination of desolation, that is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, in your very own church. No, he says that when you see this abomination of desolation stand, that is making himself known in the church, which was not every single last Christian church or congregation in the world, but it was in enough of the churches that it came to one's attention. Who was paying attention? It was then when you were to depart out from your local church. So don't wait to depart out from your very own church until you think that the abomination of desolation, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself is ruling over it, because he is now ruling over it. And you were not commanded to come out of your own church when you think that the abomination of desolation, Satan, is standing or ruling in your own church. But you were and are commanded to come out of your own local church when you see him standing, that is making himself known, in the holy place, the church, which may have only appeared to be in a few of the other Christian churches than your own. For the corporate church includes all the Christian churches and denominations worldwide. So when you see this abomination of desolation standing, that is making himself known by false teachings, gospels, signs and wonders, and other demonic-like things mentioned earlier in this study, in even just a few of the Christian churches or denominations, you were and still are to depart out from your local church, whether you think he's standing in your own church or not. And I can assure you that these evil things were taking place in many of the churches around the world. Even before May 21, 1988, when judgment first came upon the house of God. Therefore, from May 21, 1988, when the great tribulation of judgment began with the house of God, the church, that is all the churches and congregations worldwide, until this same judgment came upon the entire world on May 21, 2011, to begin Judgment Day, the abomination of desolation was clearly standing in the church. And therefore, everyone in any church anywhere in the world should have then departed out from their churches to obey the Lord by May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. But they did not. Only a small remnant of all the people in the churches have departed out from their churches in obedience to Jesus Christ, which began the separation of the wheat from the tares, the true Christians from the counterfeit Christians. In the final harvest, yes, the fact is that all the local churches and denominations, without exception, as judgment against them, were given over to the abomination of desolation spoken about by Daniel the prophet, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, that came to fulfill Holy Scripture. Not a man, but Satan himself. And Satan himself, yes, worked through many people, many Antichrists, many men. He's just spoken of as the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians, because throughout Scripture, God uses a man to typify Satan. It doesn't mean that the Antichrist who came would be just one man. It would be just Satan himself, yes, and his kingdom, and all the unsaved Christians who are all Antichrists. And this judgment came upon the churches beginning on May 21, 1988. And by September 7, 1994, when the latter rain began outside of all the local churches to save a great multitude that would come out of the great tribulation, by the beginning of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, Satan was ruling over all the churches and congregations worldwide, whether it was obvious or not. Therefore, get right with God if you are a true believer, if you have any sensitivity to the spirit that is no longer in the church. You couldn't feel comfortable in a church if you were a true believer. For the church age ended on May 21, 1988. See, and I encourage you can get more, lots of information on that. If you click on the link, has the era of the church age come to an end? You can click on the link, the final tribulation, and you can click on the link, the end of the church age and after, and you can click on the book Wheat and Tares, and you can get a lot of information there. Well, let's summarize and conclude. In this study, we learned that the beast, Satan with his kingdom, was given what appeared to be a death blow to its head. That is to its authority or rule. And this death blow to its authority or rule had taken place at the cross when Satan was bound by Christ in the abyss or bottomless pit. So that this beast, Satan with his kingdom of fallen angels and unsaved people, could no longer keep the word of God or gospel of Jesus Christ from going out to the whole world to save God's elect in every nation. Which is why that just 50 days after Christ was crucified, on Pentecost of 33 AD, the Holy Spirit was able to be poured out in power to send the word of God or gospel into the whole world. And you can read about that beginning in Acts chapter 1. But then at the end of the church age and beginning of the great tribulation, which brought judgment on all the churches and congregations worldwide on May 21, 1988, for judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17, the beasts, that is Satan with his kingdoms, death blow to its head, that is to its authority or rule, that had taken place at the cross was healed. Which means that the authority or rule that Satan with his kingdom of fallen angels and unsaved people once had before the cross was restored so that this beast, Satan with his kingdom of fallen angels and counterfeit Christians, would be able to take up rule and overcome the church. That is all the Christian local churches worldwide. As the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, that came to fulfill Holy Scripture, Satan himself. And this beast began to spiritually destroy all the churches and congregations worldwide on May 21, 1988. And by September 7, 1994, it was spiritually ruling over them all. So that the elect of God, or true believers, were then commanded by Christ to depart out from all their churches to escape God's wrath and from worshiping the devil. For not only did the church age end on May 21, 1988, when the Holy Spirit began removing himself from all the churches so that Satan could take them over, but by September 7, 1994, all their churches became ruled over by the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the abomination of desolation, Satan himself with his kingdom, the beast. Now when the death stroke to the head of this beast had been healed by Satan having been loosed by Christ from the bottomless pit on May 21, 1988 to be used of God to bring judgment on the house or temple of God, the holy place, the church, we are told that the whole earth marveled or admired after this beast, Satan with his kingdom. And we learned that the whole earth spiritually refers to the whole church, namely all the churches and congregations worldwide, because the whole earth symbolizes all the living and the spirit, and spiritually speaking, all those who identified with spiritually living were in the church. So it was all the churches around the world that marveled or admired after the beast when they saw its power of supposedly speaking the word of God in power and bringing about a multitude of supposed but counterfeit salvations. When it did signs and wonders to give the appearance of legitimacy such as supposed divine healings, direct messages supposedly from God in dreams, visions, voices, tongues, prophecy, making people fall backwards and more. And finally, during the Great Tribulation of Judgment upon the church, beginning on May 21, 1988, and ending on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began, we learned that the whole earth, that is all the churches and congregations worldwide, worshiped the dragon, Satan, the devil, and the beast, Satan with his kingdom of fallen angels and counterfeit Christians. But they thought they were worshiping the true Christ, except, of course, the elect, who departed out from all the churches in obedience to their Lord. This is why all the churches said, "Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to war with him?" For they actually believed that the beast that they now worship is the true God. Even to this day, all the Christian churches, denominations, and congregations still think they are worshiping the true Christ, when in fact they are worshiping the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who came to fulfill Holy Scripture, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, Satan himself, with his kingdom, the beast. Now until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.